Tonight we're going to be looking at some statements and we're going to be answering a question. Is Jesus the only God? Now, when I make that statement, or when I ask that question this way, you and I as Christians are going to say, absolutely. But now I want you to scratch a little deeper. We know that Christ is God. But many other individuals that are not Christian have their own gods. Many will have a human god. Many will worship this or worship that. So you and I as Christians say, absolutely, that's true. Okay, then what is our function? As a body of believers, our whole function on earth until the Lord calls us home is to take the message of Christ, who is God, but to take his message with skin on it, meaning us physically going to or being there ready when we are asked about the joy that is in our life. When someone asks you the joy that's in your life, that is the open door for you to share. Now, when you go up to an individual and you say, let me tell you why I have the joy in my life, and that individual has not asked you, they really don't care what the joy is in your life. But you will know when an individual is under conviction because they will start asking you. Now, I know that you're a Christian, and I've listened to you talk before about your relationship with God through his Son. Explain to me what that means. Now, once that happens, you have an open door, and the Holy Spirit will use you in directing that individual. But you have to wait upon the Holy Spirit to convict. Don't be trying to bring someone under conviction yourself, because that's a false conviction. If a man forces you or says something to you that causes you, as you think, to go under conviction, then that means another man or another person can take that conviction away. Once you're under conviction by the Holy Spirit, then the Christian is permitted. Let me keep doing it this way. I, as an individual, cannot convict anyone of their sins. Neither can you. Holy Spirit does the conviction, all right? I do not lead people to Jesus Christ. We use the term, but I don't lead people to Jesus. Neither do you as a Christian. The Holy Spirit convicts them of their sin, and they are looking, those individuals once convicted are looking for somebody with skin on them that can explain to them what's going on inside of them. And they will say, I don't understand this feeling that I have. Well, as a Christian, you know what the feeling is. And then they'll say, well, you know, did you ever feel this way? And you think, no, I really never. Well, that's good. Because each one of us are individuals. And when God approaches us to bring us under conviction, he does it individually. That's how we are important as an individual. God calls us, and he lets us know, all of you must come through my son Jesus. But each one will have a type of calling which makes it special, your relationship with Christ special. Nobody has a relationship with Christ that is a universal relationship. Every one of us have got, as I say many times, and if we're a computer, all of us have different chips missing, or different chips that are jumping over, like the synaptic endings. I've met people that have whole worlds of them chip jumping over. But what we need to understand is that because of our individuality, Jesus touches us individually on our call. So we just need to be there. So is Jesus the only God? He's the only true God. Yes. Now, no one is more loved and hated than Jesus Christ. Let's go over your outline there, folks. The name Jesus is derived from the Old Testament name Joshua or Yahshua. As Joshua's doing fine. Joshua is Yahweh, God is salvation. That's the meaning of Joshua. If you will listen to the different movies that are made about the Passion of the Christ, you will hear his mother, in most cases, call him Yahshua. You will hear that it's according to how deep any of them got with their background with Jesus. But you will hear her saying Yahshua, which is Jesus. Okay, Christ is the Greek word. One who is chosen and anointed by God to be the Messiah. So Christ is Greek for Jesus. Hebrew is Greek for the Messiah. So we call him Christ the Messiah. They got them both, right? The Greek and the Hebrew. Who delivers God's people. Remember, again, there were many messiahs. A lot of people don't realize it. If you will look through Moses was a messiah. Many of the leaders of the Old Testament were messiah leaders. That's anyone who leads their people. They were classified. The kings were messiahs. They were the type of messiahs, some good, some bad. But there were so many popping up here and there of messiahs that that's why that during all of this era, during this time period of what we talk about the Old Testament, New Testament, so many were confused. I'll read some scripture here. It'll bring it clear to you in a moment. But remember, the confusion has always been in the mind of man, never in the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit does not lead us into confusion. God is not the author of confusion, nor does he mess with confusion. So that's why he said, I'm not going to leave it to Larry Peet or anybody else. I will give you my word myself, which is under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And then we surrender all. At least we sang it, that we surrender all. Now, opinions about Jesus are numerous. I wanted to give you some of these different beliefs here. But most all religions, including liberal Christian religions, not every group that calls themselves Christian accept Christ like you do or have. There are liberal Christian religions. Again, important for you and me to understand Christianity is a relationship with Christ. It is not a religion. But for the secular realm, we call it the Christian faith or the Christian. I deal more, I said, the Christian faith than I do with religions. Now, everyone, what is the by term right now? People of faith. I've met all sorts of people of faith. Some had faith in rats. Some had faith in a cow that it was Aunt Jane. Including liberal Christian religions say that Jesus is not God. Christian religions that say Jesus is not God. Let's look at it. Liberal Christians say that Jesus is merely a good man. And it's not even the liberal, just the liberal Christians, folks. Jesus is a good man said by even those who don't profess to be Christian. Listen to Jehovah's Witness. Jesus is merely an archangel who became man. Mormonism says is one of many gods and a half-brother to Lucifer. Oh, that's a complete different study on that one, folks. The Unitarian Universalism. And any of you met any of that group yet? You probably have and didn't know it. That's okay. Didn't. You were blessed. Unitarian Universalism, a man of love, justice, and healing. He's a good man. Buddhism, an enlightened man just like Buddha. I never did picture Jesus having that belly on him. You know, I just always had trouble picturing that. Like Islam, which is Muslim, a man and prophet inferior to Muhammad. I'm not going to get into that part of it, but what I will tell you is, and simply because Christians you know your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, here, as we look to it, is Jesus the only God? I'm going to give you 12 amazing claims that Jesus made showing that he is the only God. Now, here's your problem that you're going to have with the world. The problem with the world is simply this. When you or I start talking about this is what the Bible says, when you're dealing with the world, they don't care about the Bible. The Bible to us is the Word of God, the breath of God, the voice of God. To the world, it's a book. So when you say, let me tell you what the Bible says, I could care less what the Bible says. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in your God. Well, what do you do? Well, if they do not believe in your Bible, they have just told you they're not going to accept any word that you say to them. And when they say that they do not believe in your God, then you turn and you say, I'm sorry. He believes in you. And you walk away. Don't be rude. Don't be discourteous. Just say, I'm sorry, but he does believe in you. And let that wallow around with them for a while until they come back with the question. But don't try to slap them upside the head with it. Because they don't even believe the Bible. And you start hitting them upside the head with the book that they don't believe in, you're going to get whipped. Okay, claim number one. Jesus said that he came down from heaven. Remember this. Of all men born, they did not come from heaven. They came from the dust of the earth. They were born of man. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. Hard for a lost world, or hard for a non-believing world to understand that you and I know within our heart that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we understand that Christ came in and out of history at any time he wanted to. And people say, well, he doesn't do that today. Don't ever put limits on what God can do and what when he does it. Jesus has always been in and out of history. So he says, I came down from heaven. Listen to John 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven. He is not one of earth going to heaven. He's one who came from heaven to earth and going back to his home in heaven, where we're going to be. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Well, I think I've got the scripture, so I'll wait till we get there. John 6, verse 58. I am, Jesus says, the true bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna and they died, but will live forever. Okay, the manna that was sent from heaven, which was the food supply for the Hebrew nation as they were led out of bondage, that was the representation that Jesus is trying to remind them of. As the Father fed them with that, with the manna from above, that he would be coming from above, just like the manna came to feed them. He was coming to bring them the spiritual food. And he was coming from his home from above, not just being born of man. All right. Claim number two. Jesus said that he was more than just a good man. Now, this is what really angered the religious leaders of the day. Jesus didn't just claim to be more than a good man. He claimed to be God. And listen to Mark 10, 17 through 19. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher. Now, catch this. He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is looking at him now. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Okay, Jesus is saying to him, My Father has revealed to you who I am, because none are good, you know that from your background as he's talking to this man, except for God. So as he's coming up to Jesus, he's saying, good master. He's calling Jesus good. Then Jesus is coming back at him to say, only my Father would reveal that to you. And that was a statement of, yes, you're right. I am God. Again, you've got to be, put yourself there, where the religious leaders of the day, they're listening to this. And they're fuming. And they're trying to figure out, how are we going to kill this guy to get him out of the way? And then the arguments begin. Well, what if he truly is who he claims to be? Well, he can't be that. Because if he were truly what he claims to be, the Son of God, surely God would have told us. And he is born of no importance, his birth. So God would have revealed to us. That was bringing judgment on their own head, because God did reveal to them. They had the oracles of the prophets. They had the word of God saying, this is the way it's going to happen. And they knew it was going to happen, but at the point that they would say, Jesus is true, they would lose their power. Once they said that Jesus truly is the Son of God, is God incarnate, they would have lost all power over their congregations. What do you see in this generation? You see individuals trying to take control or power of other people. Folks, Christians are led by the Holy Spirit, should never be led by other people. We are under conviction by the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit of God. And Jesus said, I'm more in you than any other man ever thought about being. You and I are protected from all the garbage. It doesn't mean that we're not going to catch it. It doesn't mean they're not going to throw garbage at us. Doesn't mean they're not going to try to pitch us in the garbage heap. But now, folks, if Jesus is in the garbage heap, to me, that's some blessed garbage, and I'm going. I'm excited about being in that garbage heap. If I am going to be condemned because I said Jesus Christ is God, then, oh, isn't that exciting? If, wouldn't you just feel so blessed on the inside to know that so many are angry with you because you truly are a believer in Jesus Christ? The excitement of that. Well, okay. Claim number three. Jesus said he was the Son of Man. The Son of Man, of course, is interchangeable with the Son of God, the Son of Man, meaning that he is of man, but he is God-man. He is the Son of God. Jesus is saying, look, I'm in control. Now, how many people, I don't care how many people tell you that Jesus isn't in control. You and I, as Christians, know he's in control. Because how many people that have went against Christ do you ever see living for hundreds of years? We are the only religion, if you want to say, whose God and Messiah is still alive. All the rest of them admit they're dead. And this angers others because we said Jesus is alive. Well, we said because he is. And we would want you to be introduced to him. But that's up to God, the Holy Spirit, to do the introduction, not to me. I will preach, you will be and teach, you will do exactly the way God has led you, and that personality that's going to best relate to you is going to hook up with you and say, you know, I don't really like your preacher, but can you tell me about this Jesus? And you're going to say, well, we're not too fond of him halftime either, but I do know Jesus. So let me introduce you to Jesus. You see how that goes? So, Daniel 7, 13 through 14. Now, I want you to pay attention to Daniel. Because when I get back into all the New Testament readings here, you're going to see something that is very uniform. Daniel 7, 13 through 14. In my vision, at night, I looked, And there before me was one like a son of man. Pay attention. Coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Well, guess whose domain you and I are in? Jesus's. Which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Okay. Mark 13, verse 26. At that time, men will see. Listen to Jesus. You ready? Men will see the Son of Man. Huh. Look back up in Daniel. The prophecy of it. Coming in clouds with great power and glory. So the prophets had foretold of Jesus coming. And all those who said they knew everything the prophets had ever said or written. Another thing, pay attention to. In the Hebrew culture, and any time that you will have any of the teachers at all or were going to teach or preach, they always quoted the, I almost said imam, they always quoted another senior rabbi. Not one would ever get up to speak without referencing a senior rabbi, except for Jesus. Jesus didn't reference anyone. He said, and then what did the crowd say? He doesn't speak like a normal speaker. He speaks with authority. Well, he wrote it, or he had it written. It's his word, and he was the only one who could do it. But there's where they would get angry, because Jesus is standing up quoting scripture. And you didn't quote. You did not reference Rabbi so-and-so. Well, he didn't have anything to do with it. Can't you imagine those backstories on all of those situations we have? Claim number four. Jesus performed miracles. Now listen to him on this one. There's not any one of them who ever confronted Jesus that could confront him with a solid reason for their confrontation. None of them. John 10, 36 through 39. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Oh, Jesus really knows how to get them going. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. Okay. They knew that if a person come claiming to be a prophet, the proof that it was a real prophet from God was what they said was going to happen happened. And it wasn't a second chance type of thing. Oh, I didn't get that right, but, you know, I didn't mean that it was when the comet came over. That, but Halley's, it was another comet, or it was this, or it was that. Okay, do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, then believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Jesus is real good at being there and just disappearing. You know, when you're God, you can just do all sorts of stuff like that. Be there, and then he says, don't you worry, I'll take care of you. Remember after Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch and he was translated? Raptured at that, not to heaven, but from one place to another. I always thought that was cool. You know, he was not going to be late for that meeting. God said, I got this under control. Philip, you go ahead and you take care of this. And then all of a sudden, Philip opens his eyes and he's where he was supposed to be, in a town. I always thought that's pretty neat. You'll think on that a while, and you'll see how neat that really is. Claim number five, Jesus said he was God. Okay, Mark 14, verse 61, second part through 62. Again, the high priest asked him, and, you know, this is the trial part. Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am, said Jesus. Now, you know that got him. Because when he said, I am, the Hebrew teachers knew who called himself the great I am. Jesus says, I am. And he is claiming at that point, you're right. I'm the great I am. Okay. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and doing what? Coming on the clouds of heaven. Back to Daniel. Old Testament. They knew this is what was going to happen. Jesus is telling them what they said. Well, God told us this. And Jesus said, you're right. My Father told you that, and that's the truth. But because I come and tell you what my Father said, you call me a liar. Okay. John 8, verse 58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, there again, you know, people, I could hear them today, the PC folks. I could hear them that, now, that wasn't very nice of Jesus. Now, Jesus embarrassed that guy right then and there, and that guy, his feelings were hurt. And I guarantee you, Jesus is not going to be invited to the dance because of that. Oh, gosh. John 10, verse 30 through 33. I and the Father are one. He is not leaving any doubt. He is now. See, you got to remember, Jesus would say, my time has not yet come. My time has not yet come. But when the time had come for him to reveal who he was, for whatever the reason of the time, that's in God's timetable, then Jesus comes forth and says, yes, I am. Jesus could not deny that he was the Son of God. It was the truth. Now, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born. You know, they're telling him, you know, we are of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus has said, hey, before he is ever born, I am. Well, that again, it didn't make them that happy. Listen to John 10, 30 through 33. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, here you go. I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Mere men do not raise the dead. Mere men do not cause... No. He had done everything to show them. You know, I look at this and you talk about grace or mercy hitting religious folk of that day, whether it be the Pharisees or Sadducees or Herodians or whoever. Jesus says, here's your answer. Here's the truth. Have you ever seen anybody do the things I'm doing? No. Then therefore, if it can only be done by God, doesn't that give you sort of a hint? But they had hardened their heart, because if Jesus, once again, if the people were convinced that he truly is God incarnate, they lost their power over the people. And to lose your power over the people, they had had to been taking their robes off. And they weren't about to let that happen. Would it not be better that one should die than all perish? For this one, concerning Jesus, claim number six. Jesus confirmed to others he was God. Matthew 26, 63 through 64. Now, you remember at one point in Jesus' ministry that he would do a healing and he says, go tell no one what has happened. You know, don't tell anybody what I have done. Just go ahead and enjoy your freedom. And so what did he do? Just like you or I would be, and yep, I'm going to keep a secret until I can get to the first ear. Because I'm excited about what has gone on with me. And so, but when the time did come, Jesus is not denying anything. Matthew 26, 63 through 64. But Jesus remained silent. There was a point during the trial, if you remember, before the high priest and all, when Jesus refused to answer them. Now, that really goes a lot deeper than any of us are ever going to be able to deal with. At what point was God the Father saying, you know, I've had enough of these people? At what, now you think of that. At what point is God watching his son pour out total love to people that are getting ready to kill him? Now, folks, don't anger God. And the best way of angering God is to mess with his child. You and I are the children of God. You want somebody to get in trouble with God, let them mess with you. But it doesn't work when you say, Lord, I'd appreciate if you just zap them, take them right on out because they mess with me today. It doesn't work that way. We have to have the heart of a forgiving love personality to where we have the heart of Christ because we have Christ in us. That's not easy, is it? You know, after somebody's wronged you and wronged you and wronged you, and then, you know, you have these preachers stand up and say, well, you got to forgive. You hear me say that in forgiveness, but you don't ever hear me saying you got to be stupid with forgiveness. Listen, how many families I've warned and I've said openly and get a lot of criticism for it when I say women do not take those beatings. That's not a marriage. And I tell the men, same thing. Because one of the saddest situations I ever had to deal with was when a man would come and let me know that his wife was beating up on him. Okay, let me read the 60. But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. He shouldn't have done that. He charged Jesus under oath by the living God, saying, you are swearing before God here. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. You do not want to be standing around when Jesus says yes. And that's what he did. Yes, it is as you say. Now, can't you imagine the hair coming up on the back of the neck of these people? You get goosebumps. I might not have the hair, but I got the goosebumps on it. Jesus replied, but I say to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and doing what? Coming on the clouds of heaven. Back to Daniel. They keep quoting the Old Testament, or they keep quoting the prophets, and Jesus says, okay, there I am. Claim number 7, Jesus said he was sinless. I got him. John 8, verse 48. And listen to how he did it. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Now, see, you all wouldn't have any choice because I'd confess it and probably tell you too much. But if I am telling the truth, then why don't you believe me? If you can't convict me of any sin, if you cannot prove me guilty of any sin, then why don't you believe me? And they had no answer for him. So what do? When you can't, when you're getting the bad end of an argument, what does human nature do? That's about the time somebody starts to fight. That's right. It is the time, you know, if they have no argument, then all they want to do is start swinging. Well, it would never be wise either to start swinging on the Son of God. But Jesus just strictly said to him, if I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? There again. Then if they would say, no, we can't find fault in you, they would have been saying that he was God, just like he said that he was, and he was sinless. Claim number 8. Jesus forgave sin. You remember the situation he got into when he said, your sins are forgiven, stand up and walk. And then they got all excited or upset with him, said, how can you, only God can forgive sin. And Jesus said, oh, is it easier for me to say I forgive sin or stand up and walk? but so that you'll know who I am. He said, stand up and walk. That dude danced. Remember, he jumped and he done it. And then later on, he mocked the religious leaders. You mean to tell me this guy healed me and you all don't know who he is? Jesus is standing there. The people who really knew who he was were excited about it, but the religious leaders were not. They just lost their power. Mark 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Gosh, isn't that beautiful? He said that to me and to you. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven because you believe in me. And therefore, I am with you always. Claim number 9. Jesus taught people to pray to him as God. John 14, 13, and 14. And I do whatever you ask in my name, Jesus is saying to them, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, many people have tried to play with that scripture. Not a wise move on their behalf. Let me look at it. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. When you're talking about in the name of Jesus, you remember, when you're asking for him to do whatever it is, you're asking in his name, simply meaning that what he would do, if he would do it, that's the way you want it done. Not that, well, Lord, I want the Lamborghini, or I want this, or I want that. No, but you hear people saying that all the time. I tried that. You know, I tried that religious stuff one time, and it just didn't take with me. And then I would say, well, that's obvious. But you let the Holy Spirit, through his conviction, touch your heart. You will believe. You'd be surprised how many people fight God's love. That the pride is so great in the heart of man that if they admit they're weak and he is strong, their pride is so overwhelming that they don't think they can hold their head up again. And you and I as Christians know that we hold our head up because he is strong and we are weak. Claim number 10, Jesus promised to judge all people as God. John 5, 22 through 24. Moreover, the Father judges no one. You got that? The Father judges no one. Remember this, at the great white throne judgment with the judgment of the sinners, you got to remember that the judgment that is brought at that time is of the people's, their own actions judge them. Not, you know, it's not that, okay, I'm going to find you guilty. They themselves confess their guilt and their unbelief. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Jesus came as 100% human and 100% God. Only Jesus knows the true hurt and pain of the human existence and the true temptations of life. Only Jesus knows that. So he knows the chips in our bodies. He knows our DNA. He knows what was missing from birth that we could rightly be judged of ourselves. But the only judgment that you and I will ever see is that when you and I says, and ask people this, and be careful when you do, though, because it may surprise you with people that you wouldn't guess is coming from. You just ask a person, I understand that you say you're going to heaven. When you get there, what do you tell God if he were to ask you, why should he let you in? And they'll start telling you about all the good works they've done and all of this, and that will really get frightening with you. Oh, because I took care of my children, because I did this, because I did that. Listen, folks, God said even the pagans do that. Even a dog will take care of their pups. A sow will take care of the piglets till they get hungry. or then I'll eat them too. But think of it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. What else we want? He has crossed over from death to life. That's past tense. You notice that. I crossed over when I said yes to Jesus. It's as though I'm already there. The rest of my body just got to get out of the way first. Claim number 11. Jesus said he was the only way to heaven. There's another thing that you're seeing right now in Baptist pastors being pushed to say there could possibly be another way. Folks, frightening. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it won't be old Buddha or any of the Hare Krishna. Y'all remember that song? I had a group that used to sing that all the time, and I had them to come to the prison to do a revival up there with Bill Glass during that one of those revivals, and I had to get to them real quick. At that time, I said, don't sing the old Buddha song, please. Have a riot right out here with 3,000 people. Claim number 12, Jesus claimed authority over all people. Folks, Jesus has authority over all people. Not other people have authority over other people or all people. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth. Pay attention to that, because this is after the resurrection. Notice in your studies that before the resurrection, Jesus said, I have been given all authority on earth. You will hear him say that. After the resurrection, you will hear him say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Why? Because when he said it's finished, it was finished. That ushered in the end of the age. The cross ushered in the end of the age. So we have been living in the end times for 2,000 years. But when you study Scripture, you will notice the Old Testament, the Christ to come, the New Testament, Christ is here. The church age, us, is Christ is coming back. So the only thing now is when Jesus is coming back. And we don't know. And a person who tries to get you in a class so you can learn when he's coming back, you stay away from. Because he's not right, or neither is she.